Lord, open our hearts and our minds to your word, that our lives may reveal your glory as we seek to follow you. Amen. You and I, as Christian people, are called to follow Jesus. We are pledged to that quality of life towards God and our neighbors, which he displayed in all his life. We are to follow his steps as if on a journey to the heavenly kingdom. We have been called to this, what is very often a hard way, by God himself, individually. As Isaiah said, I have called you by name. You are mine. As we have turned from the slavery of sin, so we have turned to the slavery to God, servanthood to our Maker and our Saviour. And we're given access to this new life by Jesus' sacrifice. Hence, we come together to worship as part of the memorial of what he has done for us. The very first believers were called followers of the way, by themselves and by outsiders. We read about five times in Acts by St. Paul and by Felix, but it becomes less used as they become known as Christians. But followers of the way is not bad. It implies there is a movement, a development in their lives as they go on with him. Jesus indeed speaks of himself as the way, when he says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the word way refers both to the direction of travel, go that way, but also to the style and the method of behavior required of people on the way. And in Galatians 5, our epistle reading, we read how it was that we should follow the way. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. The key to freedom that Paul is speaking of there is the application of true love, a freedom from the shackles and habits of persistent sins, of those habits which we almost feel sometimes have become part of us, and so often only seen in hindsight. If only one could ask for forgiveness before and not have to repent after so often. We discover the incredible breadth of both the meaning and application of God's love in us through the prompting of his Holy Spirit. By prayer and our daily seeking to follow, by opening the scripture and seeing who God is, then our lives are changed. And those who neglect that daily being with God are those who will never discover just what that character is that he has revealed to us in Christ and is prompting within us by his Holy Spirit. Secondly, from verse 52, we note that Jesus sent messengers to announce his coming so that the people can be ready. Ready, obviously, he recognizes to accept or to refuse. And the word that Luke uses there for messenger is the same one used in Scripture to speak of angels, God's messengers. In Ezekiel 23, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and bring you to the place I have prepared for you. In Malachi 3, at the end of the Old Testament, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way into my holy temple. And Luke using the same message. Jesus is sending a messenger to announce, God is coming, be ready. It's a pleasure to come and join you, and I thank you for your invitation this morning, because this is one of the best kept and most beautiful churches in the diocese. And you, of course, are among the most beautiful people, although I have to admit my eyes are not what they were. The church is, in a sense, God's messenger. The mere fact of buildings throughout the country, of dioceses, no matter how well run or not, none of these are the gospel. That's contained in you. And when we speak of the church as angels, you also are his angels. If you had wings, how much easier it would be to get into church. We are the messengers, and we are in ourselves the gospel. What we reveal of Christian life to our neighbors, our family, our friends, and to our mere acquaintance is the gospel they know. And it's a frightening thought, it may be all the gospel they will ever see. It does behove us to know that as angels we may not be shining or flying, but we are God's messengers. Following the angel, being members of the church, means we are bringing people to the awareness that God is coming, and we're to make them ready for his coming. And thirdly, we can see in this gospel passage that simply being attracted to the way is not the same as commitment. James and John, in a remarkable apostolic statement, they see the imperative that Jesus is coming to Samaria. And they remember Elijah's example, let's burn them all down. Well, I have to say there were many more people in church if we had the gift of and slamming anyone who didn't come. I expect we'd be full to the doors. But what would they believe of a loving God? What would they know of his sacrifice? We have been called to find another way, to demonstrate a love that calls and does not compel. And down the many generations of the church, too often the church has fallen into the dreadful sin of compulsion in different forms and not shown the love, care, and calling that Jesus calls. Indeed, it's not only that the two disciples who've got it wrong. Jesus is God's love expressed to everyone who receives it, not a judgment on those who fail to understand or respond. I can remember someone once saying he didn't go to church anymore. They didn't used to preach proper hell and damnation anymore. Oh, thank goodness. But sadly, for many years, he thought that was the church. And the church has been guilty very often of preaching an inadequate message of who Jesus is and where he is. For in each of you, God lives, he habits by his Holy Spirit. And it's for us to display in our lives the characteristics that the Spirit brings. The ones again listed in Galatians, love, joy, peace, and so on. When Jesus walked along, he met a man who said, I'll follow you wherever you go. We're not told what happens to these three people, but the implication in every one is that after Jesus replied to them, speaking of the total commitment and immediate response required, they turned and went away, like the young rich man who couldn't follow Jesus because he was so wealthy. I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus just sees his shallow enthusiasm and replies, foxes have somewhere to go, birds have somewhere to go, but we don't. We lay our head wherever God calls us. Jesus said to another one, follow me. But he replies, let me go and bury my father. The implication there, of course, is his father isn't even dead yet. Now, even if he was to nip home and arrange that, it's a bit of a delay in following. It's an immediate call, not to be put off. God cannot take second place in anyone's program or anyone's life. God is. And because God is, we, his people, are in his service as slaves. And Jesus says to the man, as he sadly sees him go away, that nothing is more urgent than to answer God's call. Let the dead bury their own dead. Go and proclaim the kingdom. Still another says, I will follow you, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family. Saying goodbye to a family can be a very long thing. Jesus summarizes the nature of the call. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You and I are sort of called onto a motorway of God's way. It's open, you can speed down it, it's straight, and it should be without obstruction. But it does require you to concentrate, to know the rules, to accept that other people are around and will probably follow your example for good or bad at times. We are promised to God's rule of life, which is summarized simply as to love in God's way. We thank him for the gift of his Spirit to guide and encourage us as we travel. As Paul finishes a passage we read, as we live by the Spirit, let's make sure we keep in step with the Spirit and his application to the world in which we live. For we are the angels of God, sent as messengers to say to the world, you are so loved by God. He so wants you to know the joys of his kingdom and to look at ourselves and say, we may be the only people who will proclaim this to the person in front of us. Amen.